PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehong.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. And we're somewhat back to normal this week after the past few weeks of some special programming that we had. There was Chinese New Year, our second in our series to our lead-up for the 90th anniversary of Happy Station, which was last week, and we're actually now in another holiday. Well, okay, let me try to rephrase that, because it seems... If you have been listening to the program for 2 months now, for the very first time, or if you're a regular listener, you always hear us talking about holidays in December, January, and February. And here, actually, that is normally the case for us. This holiday is slightly different. Nobody really has a day off. Well, let me rephrase that. Actually, that's not completely true, because some people will take a day off to have a long weekend. And that is because it is what is known as Lantern Festival. Yes, we're in a Lantern Festival, which I will tell you about a little more after our first piece of music today. Here is Roberto Delgado and his orchestra with Makoto. Delgado and his orchestra with Makoto here on Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Now, yes, another holiday. Even though this holiday, as I mentioned earlier, is slightly different in that it's not what they call a public holiday, meaning that everybody has the day off work. Mind you, on March 2nd, which was this past Friday, a lot of people decided to also take it off. The Lantern Festival, or Spring Lantern Festival, is a Chinese festival that celebrates the 15th day of the first month of the lunisolar Chinese calendar. The date, of course, always changes. So, for example, last year, 2017, it was held on February the 11th. This year, it is on March the 2nd, and will usually continue for 3 days. Now, what is the Lantern Festival? Well, you've heard of lanterns, I suppose. Well, there you have it. There it is. Lanterns. That's all it is, really. Of all shapes and sizes. Now, many of you would be familiar with the stereotypical Chinese red lantern, which kind of looks like a ball, and it is suspended, and there's some type, some kind of fringe maybe hanging in the middle with some type of Chinese saying, and they, you can see them on, you go on Google, you'll see streets and streets of them. But this, of course, is only one type. This is only one type. There are many other types as well. This year, being the year of the dog, as we mentioned, talked about a few weeks ago on the program, there are even dog lanterns, as well as other animals from the Chinese zodiac calendar. Not far from where we are located, there is a very, very, very busy shopping area called Ximen, or the full name, which is Ximending. Over the past couple of years, the main street that goes through it, not shopping street, but the main traffic street, a couple of years ago, all of a sudden, out of the blue, the district office for the area decided, well, we're going to close it off on certain days and at certain times. And if you go to that street, it is rather extraordinary because on either side, it's a big, I'm not going to say street, it's a big avenue. It's a, how many lanes? One, two, three, it's a four-lane avenue with dividers in between each section. They close the traffic. So they introduced what is known as, of course, traffic control. And on either side, going for maybe 500 meters, or probably even a little bit more, there are lanterns of every shape and kind along the way. Now, because this holiday is not really a public holiday, and this year's Chinese New Year's was actually very short, it was only 9 days, next year it's 11 days, a lot of companies and a lot of other organizations decided to give extra time off. So, for example, this past week was another public holiday in Taiwan called the 228 incident. We'll get into that on another program. And it has to do, of course, with an incident that happened on February 28, many years ago. They said to their employees, look, if you work on Wednesday, then you can have Friday off and have a long weekend. So actually, that's what a lot of people did. So even though Friday is the official day of Lantern Festival, in many parts of Taiwan, Singapore, Hong Kong, and even China, and other areas as well, in Korea, for example, Vietnam, they have different names, of course, for it. In Japan, they have a lantern festival. Korea, Vietnam, like I said. Indonesia. Indonesia is actually called Kap Go Me. In Vietnam, they actually have a few names, of which I am not even going to attempt to pronounce, as my Vietnamese is rather, as was pointed out to me, rather comical and sounds like I'm speaking a language from outer space. Same with my Korean. But nevertheless, these places actually celebrate. And they celebrate, of course, in different ways, but almost kind of connected in some way, shape, or form. They all really come from the same source, you know what I mean, right? So, even though March 2nd was the first day of Lantern Festival, they keep it for 3 days because they know that a lot of people are actually going to be working on that day. So on the Saturday at Ximending in the shopping area, where for years they never really did anything, now they close off the streets, usually in the evening, introduce traffic control during the daytime. So in nighttime, you can actually walk around there and see the various different lanterns on either side of the street. Some of them are quite original, I have to say. This, of course, will lead to a large lantern parade, which will be on, which was held on Saturday. Now, I should mention, of course, that this program is being recorded on March the 2nd. So the parade hasn't happened yet. So for those who are listening to this program after March 2nd, well, the parade just happened. I can't tell you about it because I wasn't there. But next week, I will be there because the program would have gone out after it was recorded, which was after the parade itself, if that makes any sense. Anyway, it is really quite fascinating. If you go on Google and just do a search for Lantern Festival or Spring Lantern Festival, you'll see all different kinds. All different kinds. Now, the other thing that is actually interesting about it, the Lantern Festival marks the actual end of Chinese New Year. Now, even though people were back to work the week before last on a Wednesday, Chinese New Year itself in the Chinese zodiac calendar actually continues for a little bit. But then when that's over, Spring Festival happens, or Lantern Festival, which says, well, now that's over, we can move on to something else. You can also say it's the equivalent, I mean, Lantern Festival, it's not exactly the same, but people will say it's the equivalent of, let's say, Valentine's Day, which falls on in February for everybody around the world. It has become identified with the equivalent of Valentine's Day. Now, you would think that with all these holidays that we've had and people taking time off work, that, well, that would be the end of it, right? You spoke too soon. For some reason this year, because of the Chinese zodiac calendar, it seems that all the holidays are kind of falling together roughly around the same time. So after this one, there's only a few weeks of nothing. I mean, I don't mean nothing. I mean no holidays. But then we have another one coming up in May, which is Tomb Sweeping Day, which this year will be a four-day public holiday. And then we have nothing for a long time. And then, the whole process begins. Oh, no, there is another one coming up as well. I keep forgetting about that. But anyway, you see what I mean? Actually, we have quite a few in the calendar this year. There was one year I remember, probably going back perhaps maybe 10 years now, where there were barely any public holidays because the public holidays were falling on days which were already days off. So if the public holiday falls on a Saturday or Sunday, well, you don't get a long weekend. But if it falls on a Thursday, you get the Friday off, so then you have 4 days off. If it falls on a Friday or Monday, you have 3 days off. If it falls on a Tuesday, you also get 4 days off because people will also take the Monday off. But there was one year, all these holidays were happening usually on a Saturday or Sunday, which was quite annoying, I have to say. Everybody's like, oh, we hope this year passes really quickly so we can, you know, have a couple of long weekends off. So everybody's been enjoying the year of the dog. So far, the year of the dog, as we mentioned, talks about prosperity and everything else. So far for holidays, yes, it actually has been very good. All right. Time for music again. Let's take a listen to Larry Page with his orchestra with the Burt Bacharach composition, I Say a Little Prayer, here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Thank you. Larry Page on his orchestra with I Say a Little Prayer. Just, I suppose, over a month ago, we played a recording from a very popular stage production that was a very, very, very successful comedy album called You Don't Have to Be Jewish. And also another one called When You're in Love. You're Jewish when you fall in love, or you don't have to be Jewish to fall in love, or something like that. It was actually by the same crew. And a number of you commented how it was incredibly funny. And one of the cast members of both productions was a well-known Yiddish and Jewish comedian by the name of Frank Gallup, who also did a lot of radio and a lot of television. And he was in both productions. And one of the productions actually had a hit song, a novelty song that came from one of them. And some of you have asked, do I remember it? Well, of course I remember it. It was my introduction into that whole series, those two productions. And it's a cowboy song. It's a cowboy song, but a Jewish cowboy song. So instead of riding on a horse, he probably rides in a big Cadillac somewhere in the U.S. state of Florida. American listeners will understand that joke completely. Anyway, we decided, well, we'll play it next, because we have a few other things that I want to talk about today, but let's get it out of the way. So this is for all of you who wanted to hear something else from that production, You Don't Have to Be Jewish, Frank Gallup and The Ballad of Irving.
He was short and fat and rode out of the west with a Mogan David on his silver vest. He was mean and nasty right clear through, which was kind of weird because he was yellow too. They called him Irving. Big Irving. Big Short Irving. Big Short Fat Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the west. He came from the old bar mitzvah spread with a 10-gallon yarmulke on his head. He always followed his mother's wishes. Even on the range, he used two sets of dishes. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big sissy Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Irving. 141 could draw faster than he, but Irving was looking for 143. Walked in a Saul saloon like a man insane and ordered 3 fingers of 2 cents plain. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big sport Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. One day, Bad Max happened into town. His aim was to shoot Fat Irving down. Bad Max said, draw and draw right now. And Irving drew a picture of a cow. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big gunfighter Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. The James Boys was coming on a train at first sun, and the town said, Irving, we need your gun. Well, that train pulled in at the break of dawn. Irving's gun was there, but Irving was gone. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big help Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Well, finally, Irving got 3 slugs in the belly. It was right outside the Frontier Deli. He was sitting there twirling his gun around, and Butterfingers Irving gunned himself down. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big dum-dum Irving. Big dum-dum dead Irving. the 142nd fastest gun in the West. Really?
The Ballad of Irving. All right, let's talk about our Patreon page for a moment of some of the things actually that have been happening there. We have been uploading a series called Date with the Dutch that dates back to 1968. Let's have a small sample of one of those programs.
Radio Nederland presents Date with the Dutch. Hi there, I'm Tom Meyer, your host on this Date with the Dutch. The Dutch you're going to meet today all have one thing in common. They all like music, and not only that, they all make music too. Music with a certain beat. Take Jack Tromby's Acapulco Brass, for instance. Now that doesn't sound very Dutch, does it? No, I have to agree there, but still, it is a Dutch orchestra. And Julius de Faro, who composed this number, Young Beat, is also Dutch. So, there.
And there we had an excerpt of the Radio Nederland series, A Date with the Dutch, produced by a very, and presented by a very young Tom Meyer, actually 2 years before he actually did Happy Station. And we're going to be uploading that whole series at our Patreon page, so do go and check it out. We also had a couple of inquiries from some of the partner stations that run programs from PCJ, asking if we can actually make it available. The programs are only 15 minutes. So do go to, let me give out the site in a moment, because there's also something else that we uploaded this week. And this is something I think that those who are SWLs might possibly remember, especially if you're an SWL who lived in Japan. In the 1970s and 80s, it was very common if you bought a World Band receiver to have a leaflet inside with various stations and frequencies and times that you can tune into. Now, very often, because of course the way things are, you would get these schedules inside that could be very much out of date by the time you actually bought the radio and looking at the schedule, because frequencies, for HF anyway, change twice a year. There are the winter frequencies and, of course, the summer frequencies, so they would always change, so a little bit out of date. But Sony came out with a fantastic idea, along with some frequencies that were usually out of date. I think they realized that, and that a lot of SWLs would just tune up and down the bands and try to find stations. Now, if it was somebody, let's say, who was new to shortwave listening, they probably wouldn't know what to look out for. Now, back in the day, it was very common for most international broadcasters, including Radio Nederland, to have what is known as an interval signal. An interval signal was a small jingle that would just repeat itself 2 minutes before the program was about to begin, in some cases even 10 minutes before the program was about to begin. Those who listen to Radio Nederland will, of course, remember the bells playing Mech Toch Ustecht. Radio Canada International had the first few notes of O Canada, and, of course, the Voice of America, Yankee Doodle Dandy. And of course, Radio Australia, of course, what is Radio Australia? Is Waltzing Matilda. Yes, was Waltzing Matilda. Anyway, the list goes on and on and on. So Sony decided, and I think this is a brilliant idea, and they actually released a number of different ones through the years. It was a small 7-inch record that ran at 33 and a third RPM. And on the record would be, well, let's take a listen to one of them. This is from one that was issued probably in the late 70s or maybe even 1980, 1981. Deutsche Welle, Nischdeutsch Kern.
BBC イギリス・ロンドン。
Right, that was just a little bit of a 7-inch, 33 and a third RPM single that Sony would include with the purchase of certain shortwave radios back in the 1970s and 1980s. We actually have a few of them, and we've just uploaded one of them. Actually, this is on a flexi disc, so it's like paper. You can just bend it back and forth. And despite the fact of that, it actually still sounds pretty good. So we have uploaded one of them for you, along with the series A Date with the Dutch. And you can find more information about that program and others. And if you become a patron of ours and pledge some money, and we'll make more programs available. www.patreon.com/PCJ Radio. That's patreon.com/PCJ Radio. And now a little promo to tell us more about it.
Hello,
hello,
here's the Happy Station Show, calling listeners everywhere,
everywhere,
it's your station of smiles across...
Hello, I'm Keith Perron, host of the Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International, which next year will celebrate its 90th anniversary. Along with many new listeners that we have attracted over the last 7 years, there are also many of you that tune in who remember the Eddie Starts and Tom Meyer days.
Things are getting to be more improvised any minute. What was the name of this beautiful piece? Nobody knows. The trouble I've seen. Kiss it up.
Over the past few years, many of you have commented that you enjoy when we go into the archives and broadcast material that hasn't been heard in decades. With a number of people asking if the Happy Station Show and Radio Nederland archives will be made available. And guess what? Yes. That's right. Yes. The answer is yes.
Can you imagine when Happy Station was only 7 years old, you started listening?
I would like to invite you to become a patron at Patreon. At Patreon, you will be able to hear the latest Happy Station Show. And for those who are patrons, you will have full access to unedited Happy Station shows and Radio Netherlands content, both in sound and vision, from the past 89 years. All these sound recordings have been remastered from the original tapes and discs. And let's talk about films for a moment. That's right, Happy Station did produce some films. And we went back to this production studio and remastered them. Now just look at how the original 16mm print looked before. But after spending numerous hours going frame by frame, now look at it.
It was really only a hunch. I had an intuition that he had style enough.
Now, I know that many of you right now would like to see and hear these historical programs. Well, guess what? It's time for you to become a patron at Patreon. Those who become patrons at Patreon will be helping to support the digitization of all these tapes and films.
You cross your fingers, you hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
And those who are patrons will also get rewards like rare music recordings, rare programs, books, and much more. Also, if we reach our goal of $200 a month, PCJ Radio International will produce special programs that will be broadcast on shortwave for you. So come on now, show your support today, become a patron at Patreon. For more information, visit www.patreon.com/PCJ Radio.
Paramaribo, 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 Paramaribo.
Vinky Mara and the James Lyas Orchestra with Manana Manana here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Very nice, of course, to have you with us for this, the third of No, it's not the 3rd. 4th of March. Yes, 4th of March already. Ay, ay, ay. 2018. Summer is just around the corner. Actually, no, for us, it already began about a week ago. Absolutely stunning, beautiful blue sky weather. And if you do follow me on Facebook, just do a search for Keith Perron. That's K-E-I-T-H-P-E-R-R-O-N. You will find some pictures that I've posted of how beautiful the weather has been, including you'll find some pictures from... what was I just talking about earlier? Yes, Lantern Festival. Lantern Festival and, of course, Chinese New Year. So, the past few weeks we haven't really played that much music on the program, and I want to kind of make it up today, so I'm going to make this break rather short because the last few have been rather long. Here's the Columbia Orchestra, directed by Eugene Normandy, playing George Gershwin. Now, George Gershwin didn't just write popular song, but he also wrote what you could term as, let's say, classical compositions. This is actually one of my favorites. It's the Concerto in F by George Gershwin, the third movement, performed by the Columbia Orchestra, directed by Eugene Normandy.
Thank you.
See, and many people would think that George Gershwin was just, you know, a popular song. No, he, during his very short life, he wrote many different styles, from show tunes, of course, Broadway, jazz, popular standards, and like we heard, classical as well. We're now going to move on to Kurt Edelhagen, one of my favorite German big band leaders of all time, who just had a fantastic orchestra and a fantastic sound. Here he is with his orchestra playing Jumpin' at the Woodside.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jumping at the Woodside, Kurt Elhagen and his orchestra. As that was playing, I just realized I can't think of any other programs that would have such, a smorgasbord of musical styles, and hopefully that you enjoyed that on today's program. If you wish to get in touch with us to let us know what you think, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Of course, let us know how you heard the program. If it was through one of our partner stations, satellite, HF, AM, medium wave, shortwave, DAB, who knows, mind reading. Oh, that, you know, think about it. Wouldn't that be a fantastic way to actually transmit programs one day? You know, I could think it. I could be sitting at home. I could be watching television. I could be doing something completely different and just think of the show, think of the music, and I use my mental powers and I spread them out and you pick it up that way. I know that sounds very silly, but wouldn't it be really cool if you can actually do something like that? Mind you, I should mention, I don't think it'll be very much of a cool idea that I'm running around in your head, because I could make you do all kinds of silly things. I remember many years ago watching an interview with Orson Welles that he did many years before, and he was talking about mind reading and fortune telling, and he says, actually, it's actually not that difficult to do. Well, one of these days I'll run an excerpt of that interview, because it is rather fascinating. Now, let's see. We're going to end today with a song that actually is a German song. It was composed by Bert Klemfert, otherwise known as Mr. Hitmaker. And this is a song, of course, that, has been covered by many different artists. Usually it was around the same time. One of the first singers to have a big international hit with it was Wayne Newton. The song is called Dankeschön, but the version that we will listen to was another hit version for another singer in another part of the world. Her name is Hirota Miko. Of course, she is from Japan. And here she is in Japanese with Dankeschön. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Perron wishing you well. Saying so long. Au revoir. Auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Danke schön, darling, danke schön. I know you're not copy more. Shame.